to say, welcome to the Jabcast. My name's Ben Tui.
Welcome to the Jabcast. My name's Ben Tui.
Yeah, welcome. It is the television episode, and we have a reoccurring guest, Tui.
How you doing? And I'm Jared.
Jared, how are you, man?
Just got back on the mic. What's up? Sorry, I just had to do something real quick.
Tui, how you been?
Have we started yet? Okay.
Yeah, yes. Tui introed us because you weren't here.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Honored to be back for the TV episode.
How long ago was that when the radio show, when you were on? 2019? I don't think it was COVID era.
It was before COVID.
Yeah. Or maybe it was early. No, yeah, it had to have been 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, didn't you hop on for a COVID episode when it was just two people in studio and me and Ben couldn't do it or something like that?
No, because I don't think we could have guests in the studio, right? We had to sign in.
I thought you had Tui come to the studio for something, and I thought it was the Jabcast.
No, he did come to the studio, but all three of us were in there, right?
Yeah. Everyone was in there. I don't remember exactly what I talked about.
I think we just started talking.
That was before we actually had a goal or a topic for each episode. It was just,
I think that was shortly after Jared invaded Alec and Ben in the morning at night.
Yeah. Before we started recording last episode, he called Jonah the original Jabcast invader. And he goes, actually, Jared's the original invader.
Yeah. He invaded and changed the entire format.
Also, Tui, I'm gonna be saying Tui and Wayman when I refer to you guys, just so I don't confuse myself or you guys. But at the end of last episode, I teased your appearance on this, and Wayman called you Ben 3E. for your third appearance.
I get number nicknames all the time, so I'm used to it.
We've been trying to call him try to get the nickname Chewy Tui to stick at work. He works with me at Chewy now. Not the same shift, but it's caught on. He doesn't like it.
It's a nightmare.
I think that's a great name.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
I just prefer to go by Ben when there's not other Bens in the building.
Yeah, well. Okay. But,
Jared won't let that happen. So.
Yeah, I can't let you be satisfied.
All right, Jared Bear.
Shall we dive in?
Let's go, buddy.
We shall.
All right. So, as always, just a quick recap. We've each got three awards to hand out ourselves, and then at the end, we will name an honorable mention and a best TV show of the year. Those two are decided via ranked choice voting based on our top 10 lists of the year. So, for my first award for best 34th season of television, The Simpsons season 34.
Wow.
I really just wanted to harp on the fact that they are on season 34 of the show. And I believe they've just announced at least up to season 36.
Wow.
Incredible.
It's definitely seen better days. The funny parts are fewer and farther between, definitely past the prime, which I would say is, I don't know, ask different people, they'll say different things. But
yeah,
I think the uncontested golden era is season 3 to season 9. I think the first 13 seasons are all stellar. And then somewhere after 13 is where it really, there's a noticeable drop. But yeah, that depends who you ask. But
well, for The Simpsons, I really don't see a drop in original content. Like, it's impressive that they can put together 34 up to 36 seasons of original content.
Yeah, it's starting to Now, I also have to say, like, they once they started getting smartphones and iPads, stuff like that, that's when I really thought the show started just getting weird and too, like, referential of the present.
Modern culture.
Yeah, but the show came out in 1989, I believe, and it was probably just as referential of the present at that time, but that just didn't register with me because I obviously wasn't born yet. But
When I think of referencing shows that reference, I really think of the Family Guy a little bit more than the Simpsons.
Simpsons is less pop culture and more, well, it's pop culture with its like guests. Like, they, what's highly considered the worst episode of the entire show is the Lady Gaga episode.
Really?
Yeah, people hate that episode. So it's like, it dips into pop culture in that respect, but I think it's more of just culture as a whole, like Americana, I guess that's the best word I can think of. Simpsons is more about Americana. You know, it dips into politics, just life as an American in that nuclear family that we all know and love so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, once you get to season 36, I believe it'll pass its 800th episode. There, it's at no, it should pass it in season 35. It's at 740 or something like that right now, with season 34. So yeah, they're running out of ideas. That's just gonna happen. But it's still running, and if I can get one or two laughs out of every episode, I'm happy with it. And you know, I like the characters enough, so it does its job for me. I get a couple cartoons every Sunday with this, The Great North, and Bob's Burgers. So it's just kind of like a tradition for me. But that did not land anywhere near my top 10.
Or top 20.
Yeah, or top 20. It's in the lower section. Actually, it didn't even place because it's not complete yet. It's still running. But
yeah,
just had to give a shout out to The Simpsons.
It's impressive.
Yeah. You gotta respect it. Best 34th season of television. Moving on to next award, as I segue into it, best limited series. We Own This City. It is it's scripted, but it's based on true events. It's about the sting operations within the Baltimore. Hold on, let me get the official name. The anti-drug task force. Let me get gun trace task force. My apologies. It exposes the corruption and moral collapse that befalls an American city in which the policies of drug prohibition and mass arrest are championed at the expense of actual police work. So basically, you got a bunch of crooked cops that are gaming the system of the law and of how the police operate to earn a bunch of money. They would rack up a bunch of overtime that they didn't work. They would steal money that they found in drug busts, things like that. And they were making a ton of money. They were framing people for drugs. They would plant narcotics and things on people for, you know, simple traffic stops, things like that. And it's all a true story. It was created by the showrunner of The Wire, which is a completely fictional narrative, but it does take place in Baltimore, and it's following the you know, the drug trafficking and, you know, similar crimes that this show does. So it's kind of like the sister series to it.
I love The Wire.
Yeah, The Wire is fantastic, and this is a great supplement to it. A lot of The Wire actors come back, which is great to see as well. John Bernthal joins the cast. He's kind of the main character, the sleaziest of the sleazeballs from the cops. And Ben Tui, I'm not going to name names, but someone we went to high school with, his dad is in this show.
Yep.
And he's one of the cops.
Yep.
And he's on trial for some bad things, which is crazy. I don't know if he's actually depicted in the show, but I know he's at least referenced, but he's, he was in the middle of a court case when this show was airing. It's probably not hard to figure out who it is, but I'm still not going to name names for privacy reasons. It's public, but yeah, that was pretty surreal to hear that. But yeah, best limited series. You know, they told the story. They're not going to get another season. Yeah, really great TV. If you're a fan of The Wire, you'll love this as well. And then that's over on HBO or HBO Max. And another show from there, which gets my third award, is The Rehearsal for Craziest Social Experiment Caught on Camera. This is Nathan Fielder's next show following Nathan For You. Also kind of a sister series to that other show, Nathan For You. He would just pull a lot of social experiments, kind of elaborate pranks on people, pretty much taking advantage of their gullibleness. I don't know what the word for that. But yeah, he'd take advantage of them, make a joke out of it. And he really just took that to the next level in this. I don't want to spoil it because the things he does and the lengths he goes for the production of this show and to kind of accomplish what he wants to accomplish is insane. But I'll word it in a way that essentially he injected himself into people's lives to such a degree that he changed the trajectory of their life forever. All for a stupid gag for a show. There were emotional attachments. There were tears. It was insane. And I'm not sure if the final product of this is what he intended or if he just rolled with what happened. But every episode, I was just jaw to the floor of what happened, what he pulled off. It's I think he feels bad. Honestly, I think he feels bad with what he ended up doing. I wish I could talk more, but I think it would take away part of the magic of the show. But yeah, it's definitely check it out. I think it's 6 episodes on HBO, and it's just absolute insanity.
Is it kind of like a Jackass on steroids type of thing?
No, it's
not so much more pranks.
No, it's definitely, I would say it's a social experiment that's just supposed to be funny. And he ends up, I think he goes too far, and I think he realizes that. To give you a taste, he wants to help. This girl wants a child, but she doesn't have a partner, and she doesn't want to. She wants to get married before she has a child, but she's also not sure how she'd be as a parent. So she wants to kind of figure. She wants to rehearse being a parent. That's the name of the game, name of the show. What he does for her is he hires child actors to play her child at different stages of life. So like every couple weeks, he swaps out the child actor for one of an older age as it progresses.
So he basically just fast forwards.
Yeah.
Her parenting on life.
Yeah. Yep. And somewhere along the way, he decides to be the stand-in father for the child. And sometimes the child was young enough that they didn't know they were acting and they didn't know that that wasn't the kid didn't have a father and he was young enough that he thought Nathan Fielder was his dad.
Wow. Oh, well, that's not cool.
Yeah. And it just they got so attached by accident. That they had to do some explaining for the kid, but he was just kind of rolling with it. But yeah, that really just scratches the surface of the things he did. Again, it wasn't malicious at all. It was, he could have stopped it at any point and he didn't. And I guess that's where he's at fault, but it's not like he went out to build an attachment with this child just to cut them off. It was just kind of something that happened, but it is fascinating for that alone. If you watch it for nothing else, just to see the reactions and the interactions of the relationships that are built, it's very fascinating. But yeah, that's it. The Rehearsal for Craziest Social Experiment Caught on Camera. Alec, I will throw it over to you.
Well, what's your number one show?
We don't do that.
We did it.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Yeah, we did do that. My bad.
Well, you didn't tell me what your top show was.
Oh, I should tell you what my least favorite show is, too. Not my number 10. It. Let me pull up my full list. Least favorite show of 2022 is Servant Season 3. This is the Apple TV Plus horror show. It had a fantastic first season. It was about these parents in Philly. They lose a child, and then it miraculously reappears in like the baby carriage a couple days later. And this girl kind of invades their home as the nanny. The mother, before that happens, the mother has like a baby doll. She can't deal with the loss of the baby. So she just starts treating this baby doll as if it's her child because she just can't cope with the loss. And then this nanny girl comes into their life. And as soon as she comes into their life, the baby doll randomly is getting swapped out with a real life baby. And the mother is not noticing because she's delirious. She's in her own like dream state, but the father's like, you know, what the hell is going on? So the first season was fantastic in that regard, but I feel like it should have been a limited series because they didn't know what to run with for the next two seasons. Seasons two and three just felt like a waste of time. We're on season four now. And I think it's the last and it's actually picking up. So it really just felt like season two and three were a waste of time. I believe season two was at the bottom of my list for 2021. And my favorite show for 2022 is Andor over on Disney Plus, the new Star Wars show. They went with a long form narrative this time. It was 13 episodes, ranging from like 20 to 40 minutes, somewhere around there, maybe up to an hour for some of them. But it really gave time to tell the story, let the characters develop. Really great showing for Star Wars, especially with the middling reception of some of their other shows recently. It was fantastic. I know it's on Tui's list somewhere. but yeah, definitely my favorite show of the year. Really fun way to spend a couple weeks.
I haven't checked that out yet.
Yeah, you should. Definitely give it a chance. I know a lot of people couldn't get into it first couple episodes, but it was released, I think the first three episodes, Tui, if I'm not mistaken, they were released same day.
I thought it was the first two.
Maybe the first two. So they're meant to be viewed kind of as, you know, as the premiere. So if you can watch them in the same sitting, but if not, it still works either way. Okay, Alec, now it's your turn.
Yes, it is. And my first award for the television Jabbies category is Best Unscripted Series for Impractical Jokers Season 9, Part 2. These guys are, I mean, they keep playing the same games for the most part, but they never fail to make me laugh. Like, I know the game. I think we all probably could go out and play these games, and because we all know the rules, but they still make me laugh every single time.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they can basically recycle content and make it fresh and new, and I love it. And I mean, I am a little heartbroken that Joe's not on the show anymore.
I was about to ask you that, is this the first season without him?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I really miss Joe a lot because I think he would do things that the other three never would do ever. Mm-hmm. And he would say things that the other three would never do. So I really miss Joe. Joe, I know you're listening. I wish you could come back, but I'm going to go see you on your comedy tour. It's great. You're great. I love you. But I do like how Impractical Jokers are kind of spilling off into other aspects of television and popular culture. Like,
yeah.
Because I think they're on it's TBS, right?
Yeah.
I want to say they're on TBS because, and going back to the video game talk,
True TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is owned, I think it's all owned by the same overall company.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But they, even we talked about WWE 2K in the last episode. These guys, because they're owned by the same company as All Elite Wrestling, which is another WWE style company, if you're unfamiliar with the wrestling industry, they have actually been on AEW before. Pretty recently. They had Chris Jericho, who's a pretty well-known wrestler, even if you're not a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
He was on as an Impractical Joker's guest, and they worked that episode into an episode of AEW.
Awesome.
It worked really well. Like, because Chris Jericho's persona now, he has like this lucky baseball bat that he beats people up with or whatever.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I know, right? But Murr and Q supposedly stole the bat when he was a guest on Impractical Jokers. And then they made like a video appearance on AEW, like, hey, Chris, look at what we found, kind of thing, like mocking him.
Right.
And then they showed up, and Chris Jericho and his like goon squad beat the living hell out of Q and Murr. It was so
that's
funny.
Great. Dude,
so like that's like new content that they put out, and I thought it was so. I still think it's great, even though they're recycling games. I think having the guests on who have never like actually experienced it, because honestly, I'd love to be on that show or be on a show similar to that, but I don't think I'd actually have the guts to go to do it.
I've always thought about that. Like how much money, like they're making so much money.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like there is a price point where I would do basically anything. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Now I've been watching HBO, and cause they have on HBO Max, they have all of them, all Impractical Jokers ever. And I liked a couple seasons ago when they used towards the end of the season as like their last episode, they would do like a stand-up event and show like outtakes or talk about the show. And they did, I remember they showed a clip that they had to blur and the network cut from the episode for obvious reasons. They made each other ask for directions while waving a dildo around. They're like, do I have to go this way or that way? And they're like just flinging this thing around onto you.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. And like things like that, I wish you could see it more, but I think if they moved this show to like an HBO, it would get turned up to a whole new level.
Yeah. They'd probably have a lot of fun with that. Tui, do you remember when we went to Ocean City with all our friends a couple years ago? We would just spend hours watching Impractical Joker. Like before we went to the beach, we just sit there for hours, or after the beach when we're cooling off, just Impractical Jokers is on.
Yep. Just left it on.
It's like just four or five dudes just sitting around with their shirts off watching Impractical Jokers.
That's what it's all about.
Drinking and beer. Another reason I love it so much is that you can put it on in a setting like that and like do other things. And it's just, you can come back to it, you can go do something, and you're not going to really miss anything.
Yeah.
It's just something you can have on and enjoy no matter where you start actually like paying attention to the show.
They play it on the TVs in the break room at work, and it is uncanny how every man is just, when that's on, they are locked into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like you look around the cafeteria, every single guy, no matter where they're sitting, they're looking at that TV that's playing Impractical Jokers, and they are cackling.
It's a great show. Great show.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So my second award, moving on a little bit here, is Best Docuseries. Ben and I talked a little bit about it. It's called Welcome to Wrexham, where Rob McElhenney and the number one actor of the show, Ryan Reynolds, bought Wrexham AFC. Correct. Am I right, Ben? It's Wrexham AFC, not Wrexham FC.
Yep, you're right.
They bought that club that was like, they were in turmoil. And is it the lowest division of
they're outside the football ladder. So in the football league, there are four leagues and they're in the one just below that. So there's a bunch underneath them that are like amateur leagues. So they're kind of like in between.
So would you consider Wrexham right now, that league is like semi-pro, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'd say it's like the minor leagues, basically.
Gotcha. All right. So yeah, they're fighting to get back into that ladder for professional soccer. But Rob McElhenney is from Philadelphia, and obviously everybody knows Ryan Reynolds, loving Canadian, 2010 People's Sexiest Man Alive. Beautiful human. I know Jared and Ben love so much.
You got another Reynolds lover in here too. He's a fan.
I like Ryan Reynolds. He's funny.
Yeah, he's funny. These two hate him.
I know. It's weird.
I don't like him.
He splits the room.
Yep. Well, either way, this docuseries follows them purchasing and trying to rebuild this club. Because from what I gathered from the docuseries, Wrexham used to be like a renowned club in football over there. So these guys are trying to rebuild it to its glory days. And the fans that Wrexham has are unreal. These guys are incredible. The fans go nuts. Like, I've never seen anything like it over here in the States. It's crazy. But one of the things I remember about this is it's not so much a docuseries about the soccer players so much as it's about Rob and Ryan really trying to understand the sport of soccer, understand how the ladder works, because Ben's tried to explain it a number of times on when we did the sports show, on the Jabcast when we talk about sports, even on here. It is very complicated compared to what we have here in the United States.
Right.
So it takes a lot to really learn it all, and just to buy a soccer team without knowing is kind of tough. But yeah, it follows Ryan and Rob really putting together this team and trying to bring it back. Right now, the team, I believe, is like right there. They are probably going to win and get promoted. They're like right on the fringe right now, I believe. Ben and I were talking before we started recording that they actually tied a Premier League club, right? What club was it, you said?
Sheffield United.
Yeah, and they're good. So they have Wrexham, I think, has the players to do it. I don't know if you agree, Ben. You're the football expert.
The players to do what exactly?
Get promoted. Get up there.
I think they'll get promoted this season. It will take them a long time to get to the Premier League. I don't think they're even close.
Mm. Yeah. So how many teams? I know from their league, only one team gets promoted.
Yeah.
After that, how many teams normally get promoted each year?
Three.
Two?
So three go up and three go down each year.
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the Premier League, because that's like the top.
No, the Premier League is three. Bottom three teams get relegated.
No, I mean, there's no promotion after that.
No.
Because that's the top.
Right.
Gotcha.
Got it.
But anyway, this docuseries just follows them, and I think it's incredible. It's a totally different view on like a sports documentary, where it's more of like you get that aspect of front office versus how things work in the locker room. You do see players, like these guys are living in a two-bedroom house, and there's five of them in there because of how much money the old club was paying them. So, like, it really is a struggle for some of these guys down in that league.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully things turn around. There's only one episode in this docuseries that I hated, and if you plan on watching it, you can skip it. There's an episode where they dive into, like, they dive into the club, they dive into Wales, Welsh culture, stuff like that. And Ryan and Rob basically go through all these different things as spoofs of modern day pop culture shows. Like they do a Sports Center spoof about highlights of one of the games that they played. It kind of sucks. They do like a cooking show about Welsh food in the episode.
That sounds fun.
It sounds fun, but it really sucks. Like, it's
probably because of Ryan Reynolds.
No, not because of Ryan Reynolds. I feel like they put it right in the middle of the docuseries, and I feel like it really.
Okay.
I feel like it breaks the kind of like the storyline, the flow of
yeah.
the docuseries. It just throws everything off.
Would have been better as like a bonus episode.
Yeah, if they would have done it at the end, or if they would have done it more towards, or like right at the beginning, right after the whole "Hey, we bought this club" type of thing. Like,
yeah.
Because that's what the first episode really is all about. It's explaining why Rob wanted to buy a club, what Rob's motivation was to get Ryan into the club, into help buying the club. It was kind of funny because they showed like they did like a follower count graphic at the bottom, and it said Rob, and it went like a line that was about this far across the screen, and then it said Ryan Reynolds, and it just kept growing and going, and it just went off the screen. And he's like, I needed to find somebody. He's like, I have TV money, and I need to find somebody who has TV money and movie money and coffee company money and gin company money.
Yeah.
And phone company money. So he just kept listing all the things Ryan does. But overall, I know you two hate Ryan Reynolds to the ends of the earth, but I think it's worth a watch. It's on Hulu. It's a really good documentary, and Ben, I think you would like it just for the sole aspect of it being a soccer thing.
Yeah, man, sure.
that was the biggest. I'm never thinking about this again.
Yeah,
I'm not watching this shit.
He's never gonna watch Dave, Jared.
Yeah, new season coming out soon.
Yeah, don't recommend stuff to me because I'm not gonna watch it just out of spite.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, whatever. I think you'd like it. And then my third award is
love this.
Best cowboy hat. Best cowboy hat goes to Luke Grimes, who played Casey Dutton in Yellowstone.
I'm going to look at this hat.
It is a gorgeous hat. And that I looked awesome. Up. I think I'm going to look it up now. But I'm pretty sure.
It's a black one?
Yeah, to buy one, it's like a few hundred dollars.
Mm. Ben, how much did our cowboy hats put us back, Tui?
I don't remember.
You remember?
Exactly.
I took him to the Boot Barn in York, and I already have a cowboy hat. I got him, went to get him one. We had a hard time finding one big enough for his head.
Yeah, I got a big ass head.
So I just looked to buy a replica Casey Dutton Yellowstone hat is $600.
Shoo! And that's like, yeah. Is that like an officially licensed one or like the one yeah. that they bought for the show? Same.
Yeah, it's like
a model.
Yeah, it's like the same make of that show.
Okay,
same gotcha. Like, and they like dirty it up.
Yeah, like it does look cool. It's got that weathered look. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's had it for a couple years.
Yeah.
But yeah, best cowboy hat, Luke Grimes, Casey Dutton, Yellowstone. Great, great hat. I think it helps make the character a little bit. Because wardrobe is a big part of building a character like those guys in Yellowstone.
Yeah, for sure.
And a cowboy hat really puts so much attitude behind your look, whether or not you're a rancher or you're just some city slicker like Jared is. Right.
Right. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Ben, throw yours on.
Nah. Well, first of all, it won't fit on my head with the headphones on. But I'll grab it.
Yeah. I need a new one. Oh, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Put it on.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 second.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, when he's got his hair down, too, he looks like a rock star.
Yeehaw.
Dude, yeah.
Awesome. Yeehaw.
Like, he looks way better in his hat than I look like in my hat.
It looks great.
Yeah.
He looks like, see, like, he just put that on and he looks like he's from the Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't. I look like I just found a hat and put it on.
Like, Ben. Speaking of hats, we still got to find Ben a hat.
That's true. Yeah. Ben's not a hat guy.
Mm-hmm. We'll
figure that out.
Me yeah, either, me and, usually.
I wear enough hats for me and Ben. So
yeah, I rarely see you. Like, I never know what Alex's hair's looking like.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the one on top.
Yeah, I always kind of forget until you take it off.
Yep, because I wear a hat every day.
Yeah, big just hat about. Guy.
Yeah. But speaking of best cowboy hat, my number one show Yellowstone season five. Yellowstone's incredible. I just love the show. It is like a straight up mafia movie, but set in a ranch in Montana. It is awesome.
I've heard good things.
Great show. And the spinoffs are awesome too. They're really cool. Filling in some of the history behind the Duttons. Matthew McConaughey actually is supposed to take over a new chapter.
No way.
Dutton family.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
It's not been confirmed as to when or where he's taken over. I think it would be a good idea. So Casey Dutton is one of John Dutton's sons. So Kevin Costner's kid, Luke, is Casey, who plays Luke Grimes. It was played by Luke Grimes. Casey has a son named Tate. And I think it'd be cool if Matthew McConaughey kind of threw us to the future and ran Yellowstone Ranch as Tate Dutton.
Like a grown-up one. Yeah.
I mean, that would be a cool story. I think that's an era that I think a lot of Yellowstone fans are eager to see, because we have two flashback series with 1883 and 1923. So with two flashbacks, I think it'd be a good idea to put together a flash forward almost, you know.
How has McConaughey never played a cowboy yet?
I don't know.
Magic Mike doesn't count.
Fuck.
Damn.
He's had some like cowboy
Dallas Buyers Club. He was a rodeo guy.
Even The Gentleman, he was kind of like a cowboy vibe, even though he was like a weed drug lord.
Yeah. But like still, this would be like his first. Yeah. Like, that's just shocking to me. Like, when I think of cowboy, I think of McConaughey.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a role. I don't know if he wanted that kind of role in the past. Because I feel like with the way he talks and his like mannerisms, he probably would have gotten pigeonholed into that kind of role.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right.
So I don't think he necessarily wanted those roles up until maybe now, when he's already established he's an incredible actor at everything else.
Yeah.
I think now, if he really wanted to get into that like rancher cowboy style role, now is a good time for him to do.
Right. Wait a minute, not to get too off topic, we can talk about this later, but I got to talk to you about True Detective.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We gotta have that talk.
Awesome.
Yeah, what's your, you got a least favorite show, yes, Alec?
My least favorite show is Joe and Carol on Hulu. I think it's on Hulu or Peacock, one of those two.
Probably Peacock.
Joe and Carol is a nonfiction, fiction, exaggerated nonfiction, I guess you could say, about what the events that happened during Tiger King. So in Tiger King on Netflix, everybody knows that show. they talked a lot about what happened and how they got to that very first point in their lives with Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. This jumps all the way back to when they actually started to happen, like how Carol discovered Joe, what Carol was doing. Kate McKinnon plays Carol Baskin. She crushes it. I don't think I've ever seen Kate McKinnon in a role where she doesn't blow it out of the water, honestly. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. But this show, I was like, this is a bit ridiculous. It was very exaggerated.
Yeah.
One of the last scenes in one of the episodes, Carol goes to buy a gun because somebody shows up and says that Joe wants to kill her or whatever, and she goes with her husband and buys a gun, and she's holding it and she says some stupid line that makes no sense, and she's acting like she's afraid of the gun, but the camera's like looking up the barrel like 007 almost, and she's like sights. I'm like, this is weird. Like, I'm just not a fan.
Damn.
I mean, everybody can have like their own opinion of it. obviously, but it was too exaggerated, too weird for me. I understand it was supposed to be like a spoof off the whole situation, but it felt almost like if Scary Movie had almost a $1 billion budget. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. the production level was great, but it felt like the writers of Scary Movie took over. it was weird. Not a fan, but
yeah, like that's not something you need to exaggerate. The original story is crazy as it is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like we didn't need an exaggeration of this out of left field story, and calling Tiger King out of left field is probably an understatement. Like, Tiger King is probably out of the parking lot down the street that lines up with left field. Honestly. But Ben Wayman.
Yeah.
Let me hear your awards, man.
All right. Well, this year was a really good year for TV. I watched a lot of stuff that came out this year. I narrowed down my list to 10. And with TV rules, specifically streaming services, rules are getting a little lax. So there's a lot of dick on TV nowadays. So considering everything I've watched and all the penis I've seen over the last couple months, the best penis scene of 2022 goes to The Boys season 3.
Yeah.
Jared earlier said that it was a doozy. I think that was your exact
word. Yeah, that's a word I like. Yeah,
and that's certainly one way to describe it. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I think if you're going to watch it, you should just see it for yourself, raw and unfiltered. But it was the most entertaining scene that I watched this past year that involved a penis in some way. I had The Boys season 3 number 4 on my list. A couple of shows above it. My second award is Best Actor, which is just a general award. I gave this one to Jeremy Allen White for The Bear, which was second on my list out of 10. Yeah. Fantastic. I loved it. I thought he was really good specifically. It would have been my best show of the year, my favorite show of the year, if not for Bocce the Rock, which is just amazing. You should go watch that one as well. And then my third award was the best show that will inevitably be canceled by Netflix. Netflix is awfully trigger happy when it comes to canceling shows that don't instantly take off. And the privilege of that this year goes to 1899, which comes from the showrunners of Dark, I believe it is.
Yep.
So very, lots of twists, very suspenseful, very sci-fi in nature. And I kept this on here because this actually was canceled after one season. when I filled out the outline, this show was still alive and well, and I kept it on there just as a prediction. And I was right. So
you nailed it. You nailed it.
Now with this show, I haven't seen it. So like, is there really room for a second season? Like, did they leave a lot unanswered?
Yeah. It's ends in a major cliffhanger.
Yeah. Is it kind of a style of show where if they made one more season, they could just tie up all the loose ends and then be done?
I think
maybe.
Yeah. Or do you think they remade this with like 3, 4, 5 seasons in mind?
I think they could have. So I wasn't a huge fan of 1899, not to jump into Ben's segment, but I wasn't a huge fan of 1899, so I feel like they could have wrapped up what they wanted to say with a second season, just because they wrapped up what they wanted to say with this. It's a complete change of setting for the second season, without spoiling anything. So they said what they wanted to say in the first setting, so I feel like they could do the same with the second. I don't know what you think, Wayman.
Yeah, I agree.
There you have it.
I
agree.
There you have it.
That was basically it. Yeah, it was definitely a setup season. It needed a second season. It's not going to get it. So I would imagine they'd shop it to other networks, but I doubt it will get picked up because Netflix owns they own Dark and they own 1899. So it would be a really messy, like, do we pull all of it off or just the first season or
Yeah.
Whatever.
I heard it was really expensive to make too.
Yes. They had some pretty, you probably won't know them because they're like foreign actors, but they had some pretty high, like highly billed, high budgeted actors, some big names, a couple of Spanish actors that were very sought after. And production value was very high, obviously. I thought it looked very good.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, with something like Netflix being more of a, being, because they're streaming services, they're national. Do you think that, like, the United States market probably just did not respond to these highly paid actors well enough for them to make their money back almost?
All right. So the greater American public is stupid.
What?
And yeah, it's a shock, I know. A lot of shows that get really popular are, and this will sound pretentious, and I think it is, a lot of shows that get really popular are very dull. They do very little to shake up like the norm. Very similar themes in all of them, similar actions, similar, like Outer Banks is a really good example. Like there's always, there's like, the characters are in that weird gray area between like college and like early adulthood. So it's really relatable for a lot of people. There's like romantic subplots. There's very like low stakes that they always make look really like really dire. Yeah. So those shows just continue to blow up. So Netflix knows what works. So when you have a show like 1899, which I felt was honestly kind of tame compared to Dark.
Yeah.
People just watch it and they're like, oh, like where's the romance? Where's the like boat action sequence? Where's the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shows really have to strike, like they have to grab people right away. And they also have to be very like broadly appealing. And the 1899 certainly is not.
It was also a slow burn.
Yeah.
Which people don't like as a whole.
I'm trying Jared.
Go ahead.
I'm just gonna keep cutting Alec off every time he tries to say something. We talked about like True Detective. Like the first season of that show was really well received, and I think a lot of that is because of when it came out. Like people would not, if True Detective was a Netflix show, they would not.
It was before the binge model craze. Because that was a weekly show. It aired weekly on HBO. And HBO is still doing that, and that's why their prestigious shows are getting the, you know, the accolades and the praise they do, because they're being consumed the way that, you know, they're intended week by week. I don't think people realize like something like 1899, when it's released all at once, it's meant to be watched in succession like that. Mm-hmm. So for a slow burn, it's kind of rough, because you're, from the perspective of someone binging it, they're sitting there for, you know, if it's 8 episodes, 8 hours. So it feels extra long. If you were to release that week by week, I think it would have been received better.
Yeah.
You got it's stretched out and you feel like you have more things happening almost, because week by week you're getting little bits of stuff versus 8 hours of little bits, and it doesn't feel like a build.
Yeah, Netflix has basically like TikTokified like the streaming model.
Yeah.
Like they figured out what people like, and they've like whittled down their product to meet like such a specific audience, like where they are. And I guess that's fine. Like those shows are profitable, even if I don't particularly enjoy them. But, you know, as a more critical person, there's basically nothing on that platform that interests me. So it just, like 1899, it was obvious it was going to get canceled. I think even before the show came out, just like it was never going to get a second season.
Now, like, because you guys enjoyed 1899, you said it's connected to another show.
It's made by the same people, but it's not like directly connected to that universe.
Oh, okay. So
it makes the success of Dark all that much more confusing, because that show, like is pretty well.
That was more foreign language. Yeah, that was more foreign language than even 1899 was. Like 1899 had all these different languages in it, like 10 or 12 or something, but a lot of that was English. Dark is 100% German. Granted, you can watch in English dubbing, or you can use subtitles or whatever.
Subs, same, not dubs.
Yeah, subs over dubs.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend that watched 1899. She didn't even know It was in foreign language. She did the English dubs. And I think it actually defaulted to English dub for them. So she had no clue. Yeah, ick.
yeah, so but, I was going to ask, because I was going to try to tie it back to the video game episode when you guys said that when you guys were not too happy with the one sequel game, wouldn't this kind of fall into the same vein almost? Whereas this is kind of a sequel, but not really, but it kind of works along with Dark, like you said, because
I think it's similar.
So were people probably expecting the original game to continue, but or be tied better, and it wasn't, so that's why
when it was being advertised, I don't ever really recall it being tied Dark. I think it maybe said from the showrunners of Dark or whatever, but it wasn't advertised as a sister series, a successor. So I think a lot of people just saw it and they're like, oh, this looks pretty cool, just flipping through the Netflix new releases, and they watched it and they were like, oh, well, this sucks. So I think without the context of knowing that it's made by the creators of Dark, I think people going into it without that, without viewing it through that lens, just think it sucks because they don't understand it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But so you brought up that your number one was Bocchi and the Rock, correct?
Yeah. So Bocchi the Rock, it's a show about a girl in high school who is super introverted, super stuck in her shell. She's a really good virtuoso guitar player, and she tries to form a band to help kick out of her shell. It's a really good, interesting new take on a pretty worn concept, very emotional. It's a pure passion project as well. The creators put a lot of time and effort into it. So super impressive if you're looking for something like that.
Where do you watch that?
Crunchyroll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My least favorite show, which is relative because it was still pretty good, was Summertime Rendering or however you want to say it. I don't know. It's another anime. It's a pretty good thriller. It's about this kid who comes back from college to attend the funeral of his best friend. And he basically finds that shadows have been cloning people and living in their bodies. It's pretty strange.
What?
Pretty gory as well, which I think was a good selling point for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good year for TV. Other shows on here. I had The Bear at number two. I think I said earlier.
Nice.
Severance was up here. I probably didn't like it as much as other people. I think Jared, you had it as well, right?
It's actually not on my, I think it was in my top 20. Interesting. I did really like it, but there's just a lot of good stuff this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There was a lot of good stuff this year. So I've talked enough. Let's let Tui.
I actually have a question.
Okay.
Go ahead. God, here we go.
Sorry. I'm not into anime, and I know Ben is. I don't know if Tui and Jared can weigh in as much or if not more.
Tui's a weeb for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I gave up on fighting that label a long time ago.
Yeah. So I've kind of been noticing more and more how anime is kind of becoming more and more mainstream, or I guess you could just call it mainstream or more normalized as a popular style of show.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't really see a number of anime shows on the mainstream streaming services such as Netflix, Hulu, those kind of things. Is there a reason? Is there a streaming service that kind of has a grip on anime product?
Yeah. So Crunchyroll. Yeah. Like Tui said, it's Crunchyroll. That's the one, the main one. They recently acquired. Did Funimation acquire them or did they acquire Funimation?
That's a great question.
Because I know that they,
off the top of my head,
they started to merge their libraries, but I'm not sure who bought who. I would imagine Sony bought Crunchyroll because of the infinite money they have.
Yeah.
Alec, Hulu has a lot of anime and Netflix has some. Netflix has made a bunch of originals that are all basically dog shit. So I don't think that they're too interested in branching out too much.
Yeah, I think their best one was probably Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know who would, I don't know where, if you were trying to get an anime on a streaming service, you probably would go to Crunchyroll first. right?
Yeah, they got all kinds of stuff.
So that's like where everybody goes to watch that style of show, pretty much.
Or illegally. Lots of people stream it
illegally. Yeah. I'm sure that's what Ben's doing, too.
That's what I do for some of it.
Probably don't want to.
Hulu also has a lot on it.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I just like, I'm like, do these streaming services have like algorithm based too? Because I never, it like never gets pushed. Like I don't see it like as I'm scrolling through all that like suggested home screen stuff.
Yeah, you'd probably have to go looking for it. It's like when I like signed up for Hulu, it's like, what are you into? I'm like, tick, tick, tick. And one of the boxes was anime. So I get suggested stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would be a good anime to start with if you've never watched it before?
Attack on Titan.
That's a tough question. Yeah, Attack on Titan's really good.
Yeah, because even like I mentioned in the last episode, I've been watching WWE a little bit more, and they have a number of Japanese wrestlers on their roster. Mm-hmm. And every time they do something or get on the mic and yell in Japanese mm-hmm. At one another, I get the WWE algorithm crossover, and everyone's like, if you watch anime, you know exactly what's going on here. And I'm like, all I know is they're yelling at each other in Japanese. But they're like, ah, like it's like World Star
anime. Do that again.
It's so funny. Like, but like I said, they're just, I don't understand it, but the anime world always seems to cross into, seems to overlap with the wrestling whenever those athletes are doing their thing, and it's kind of interesting. Yeah. So that's why I was wondering. But we can hop into the All-Star Jabcast guest.
Yes.
Ben Tui's Jabby Awards.
Okay, so my first award was for The Biggest Waste of Time to Watch, which is also my least favorite show of the year. And that was for the Halo series that came out.
Yeah.
It was absolute crap. Like, it didn't even look that great. The story was bad. Master Chief was basically a completely different character from how he is in the video games. Almost nothing was related to the video games besides, like, Master Chief was in it, there were Spartans, there were aliens. Like,
so where does this fall in the timeline? Like, Reach is the first game. Is it before Reach?
So Reach is still around in the show because they're on planet Reach in a place called Reach City for a lot of it.
Oh.
Yeah. So they came up with a really creative name.
Wow. Look at them go. Creative was on top of that one.
And like the first episode was kind of all right because it was, you know, it was like the introduction, and like that's what made me be like, oh, maybe there's a chance, because like you see the Covenant just come in and wipe out like a rebel outpost. And it's like a bunch of like really good action that you see not again until the last episode.
Yeah.
That's boring. I feel like video game adaptations, I think, are so difficult to put together.
Yeah.
A lot harder.
There's literally one good one, and it's going on right now.
Yeah. I feel
what is that? Box?
It's so hard.
Box Machina? Oh, Last of Us, yeah.
Yeah, The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I keep seeing clips of like the comparison from the video game cutscenes to the actual scenes of the show, and it's like, I mean, they make a couple dialogue changes, but like mannerisms, editing, it's the same scene. It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty stellar.
It's like they capture the same feeling as the game while making all the necessary changes for it to be a TV show.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling we'll be talking about that show on here next year.
I agree.
But my second award was for the most anticlimactic like finale, and that was for The Watcher on Netflix, because literally you learn nothing of importance while you watch the show, and you think you're getting closer and closer to the finale and like finding out who's the Watcher, and it's like, the finale is literally just going through every suspect with no new evidence, and you're like, who the fuck is it?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Was that to,
I learned nothing.
Was that to tee up a second season?
I think they're doing a second season, but I also thought it was supposed to be a mini series originally and that they were just going to leave us hanging.
Yeah, The Watcher season 2 has already been confirmed to be in the works. An exact release date is unconfirmed. Yeah, so stuff like that in Netflix gets renewed.
Yeah.
But anything creative.
It was just bullshit because they're like, all right, we're going to tell you this person's the Watcher, this person's the Watcher. None of them are the Watcher, but they're all still suspects. And it's like, what? It really just was disappointing in the end.
Oh, yeah. Isn't The Watcher a video game too?
Mm.
No, that's The Witcher. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
Which is also a show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Good show.
And equally terrible.
I like The Witcher, but I think it will definitely be bad after Henry Cavill leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I also like it. All right. What's your last one, Tui?
Best show that made no sense to me was Outer Range. Because I was just lost watching the whole thing, even though it was interesting. I was just like, I had no idea what the fuck was going on for most of it.
Yep.
And I was just like, why are they trying to kill each other at the end? It's like, they got together in 10 minutes, and now they're shooting at Josh Brolin.
I also watched this show, and I had the same reaction. I was like, Ben, you probably know what I'm talking about. There were certain scenes where you knew it was a big reveal or important. I just never knew how.
Yeah.
Like it was shot where you were supposed to be like, what? And I was like, oh, what? But in my head, I'm like, why?
Like they shot a herd of buffalo like that, I'm pretty sure. I'm like,
oh, yeah, the stampede of the buffalo. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is important, but why?
Yeah.
Is it because there's not a lot of buffalo left? I'm just like,
ew, man. Now I'm just thinking about that one makeout scene at the end.
Yeah, that was just off-putting.
They just zoom in on the tongue and lips, and you can see like a strand of saliva connecting their mouths at one point. That happened twice, same episode.
It was at that point where I was like, so these are the villains.
Didn't you watch that with your mom?
Parts of it, like, I was just like, this is so weird.
Yeah. You see Josh Brolin's naked ass at one point, too.
Yeah.
Wayman's pump in the air.
This might have been a record year. Yeah, I might. It's been a record year for man ass on TV.
Yeah. I've seen an
exceptional amount of bare male ass. I'm pretty sure Master Chief had his naked ass out in one of the episodes of the Halo show.
Pretty sure. Master Chief fucks it. So. So that was odd.
That's awesome.
Just out of nowhere.
Excellent. So what was your favorite and least favorite show there, Tui?
Well, you see, award number one went to my least favorite show, Halo. But my favorite show was House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Because I was a big Game of Thrones fan until the end.
Like everybody, everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah. I could complain about it for the rest of my life, but we don't have that much time. But House of the Dragon was really good and was like almost like a return to form for season 2 and 3 of Game of Thrones, I'd say.
Absolutely.
When is House of Dragon? Is that like a prequel to Game of Thrones? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how far of a prequel, but pretty far because there's still dragons.
200 or 300 years?
Sounds about right.
When does House of the Dragon take place? 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones. 172 years before Daenerys was born.
I still haven't finished Game of Thrones.
I mean, it's a long show. There's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
You could stop at season 4.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
make up the rest in your head. Better than whatever you got.
A little off topic. I know I've told Tui. Have I told you guys I know this guy that's seen the first Harry Potter movie and the last Harry Potter movie? And he goes, I can fill in the rest.
That's really funny.
No, you can't. That's 6 movies. 5 or 6 movies in between.
Yeah. It's like trying to figure out Star Wars from episode one.
Right. Yeah. You watch episode one and episode nine. Like, you don't see Darth Vader at all.
Yeah.
If you do that.
You'd be like, who's Darth Vader?
Yeah. That would
just
be nice.
Just know what pod racing is.
Yeah. That's really all that matters.
Yeah.
But, okay, cool. So now
worst
we can
show.
Halo.
Yeah. Absolute crap. Hated it.
I thought you were going number 12 on your list. My bad.
Oh, no. I liked Cobra Kai.
Jared, do you remember sitting in the editing suite when I watched the first two episodes on YouTube?
That's when it was still on YouTube Red.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. The first two episodes were free, and I watched them. I'm like, that's pretty good. But I'm not YouTube Red.
Yeah, you said that to me, and I just went, I trust you. But okay. All right. Now we're moving on to the award of the episode, the big one, best TV show of the year. But before that, we're going to go to honorable mention. And again, just to recap, these were decided via ranked choice voting based on all of our top 10 lists. Honorable mention with 19 points. It was my show of the year, Andor, with 19. So it's my number one, Ben's number... I guess two. Yep. So it gets the 19. Star Wars, really great long form. You know, I talked about it already. And we've all talked about this a little bit with 24 points on three of our lists, Tui's, Wayman's, and my own. It's The Boys, season three, 24 points. It was Ben's or Tui's number three, Wayman's number four, and my number two. Four, three, and two.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wonderful show.
If we're learning anything from the Jabbies this year that we haven't already learned, is that nothing on Alex's lists make the top.
Somehow, Alec, somehow you've watched more TV than you ever have in your life, and none of it was repeated by any of us.
Exactly. Honestly, looking at all of our lists, I think the only time we're going to have crossover or I have a shot at a winner or a second place is music, because you two gave me all the albums to listen to. So, right. That's where I think I'll get something.
We can only hope.
Yeah, we can. I just...
Hey, that's not... Hey, FIFA made it. Far Cry made it. And you didn't even play Far Cry.
FIFA's on my list. FIFA's on my list by default. Like,
what's up with Far Cry?
Well, yeah, that too. But now we have the awards for... things I haven't played yet.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was a good way for us to get some more representation across the board.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it for TV.
I think so, too.
Ben Tui.
Been real.
Thanks for coming back for the three-peat.
Thanks for having me.
You're the first hat trick on the Jabcast. How's it feel?
Great. I'm overwhelmed with joy.
I can tell. Tune in. I don't know what we're either going to do, movies or music next. That kind of just depends on scheduling. We're still figuring that out.
Yeah. And if Ryan Reynolds is available for the movie category.
No. Yeah. But if not, we've got an equally sexy and charming Colin Quinn.
He's been on a couple times too.
Yeah, one-time guest of the show. He'll be back. And then we'll have... Did we ever air Luke's episode, or was it unsalvageable?
Yeah,
because
we did. The B. Johnson episode.
Oh, yeah, the LBJ. Yeah, the LBJ cast. Yep. So, yeah, we'll get two-timers after those are done. But, yeah, we just got to figure out scheduling for that. But until then, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Jared.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Ben.
And Tui.
And I'm Tui.
You're supposed to say I'm Alec.
I'm Alec.
There we go. Thanks for listening, guys.